Hi, this is Rabbi Moskowitz. Okay, we're doing Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And the Hebrew is, Pit Tzadik Yonav Chochma, Lashon Tapuchos Tikores. Now, the word Yonav is two translations. We're going according to the Ibn Ezra. And the translation is, the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom, but the language of opposite will be cut. Okay? So again, the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom. Produces is according to the Ibn Ezra. But the language of opposites will be cut. So we have a few questions. First question is, what does one part have to do with the other? First part says produces wisdom, and the second half, something will be cut. We don't even know what that is. Next question, what is the language of opposites? And question four, the Ibn Ezra says the lips will be cut. What does that mean? What does it mean that the lips will be cut? Those are the four questions. Now, it's interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah also uses the word produce. In the middle of Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in the middle of Lamed Aleph, he says, Bo'enyin and the subject of Pit Tzadik, Yifra Chachma. Yifra comes from the word fruit, or produce Chachma. Shehirgal Sefasav, Bechachma, that he, hirgal means that it's natural, it becomes like second nature that his lips speak chachma until it's for him like a fruit from the tree, that he cannot speak anything but chachma. And what is the lashon tapuchos? What is the language of opposites? So he says the language of opposites is shemidaberes hepecha emes. He speaks the opposite of truth. And he omeres letov ra. He says that which is good, he says is bad. Ulara tov. And what is good, he says is bad. Okay? So that is the language of opposites where he talks the opposite of what reality is. And he says that which is good, he says is bad. That which is bad, he says is good. Okay. Now, the question, before I answer the first questions, the Rabbeinu Yonah brings up another question. If you notice that he says, the whole place, he says, he says that the mouth of the tzaddik speaks chachma, that it's natural for him to speak chachma. I mean, he could have used the word chacham. Why? I mean, the pasuk could have used the word chacham. Why does it use the word tzaddik? I mean, the word tzaddik is not necessary to be used. You could use the word chacham because everything is chachma. So the question is, why? Why, according to the Ibn Ezra, do they use the word tzaddik? Okay? All right. So the answer to that question is, since the language of opposites is unjust, in other words, if I tell you smoking is good, it's a good thing, you feel good, it's better for you, you know what I mean? Why not? You understand? So that is unjust. I'm saying something that is an unjust thing. It's wrong. So the thing is that therefore they use the tzaddik because that's the opposite of the language of opposites. That's the only opposite of the language of opposites. So therefore he has to say the word tzaddik, that he's a tzaddik, and he's... Chacham. Okay? I'd like to explain something in general about the Mishle at this point, and that is this. I mean, if you keep halacha, you do acts of justice, you do acts of kindness. I mean, it's everything when you keep chachma. But so, halachically, you could be a tzaddik. That's halachically a tzaddik. In Mishle, the word chacham and tzaddik is a personality development. It's a personality development. Like he said, it becomes natural to speak chachma. If you remember the story of Rachel, when Avram's slave came and talked to her, so he asked two questions, and she answered the two questions, and Rashi points out that he says, Hashiveni al-Rishon Rishon val-Achron Achron. She answered him the first question first and the last question last. So you see that Rashi seems to hold that that's the logical way of answering, and she naturally answered logically. So therefore, there's a certain training where your mind works logically, and of course, the Mishle, the logic is in thinking in terms of consequences. When I listen, I speak to Rabbi Chay quite often, and I don't think I've ever heard him say what's wrong, like something is wrong with the person's personality or something like that. Every time we talk about something, he'll talk about the consequences. Naturally, his mind goes to the consequences. It's a That's the mind of a chacham and definitely a tzaddik. But the word chacham and tzaddik in Mishle is a development of the personality. Okay? The simple way of, the simplest way, I mean, as we go on to different psukim, we'll see more and more of the differences, but the simplest way is the chacham deals with his own consequences, while the tzaddik deals not only with his own consequences, but with the consequences from society. So he takes into consideration the society. Therefore, the opposite of the language of opposites, which is unjust, the opposite is tzaddik. Are there any questions until now?
Rabbi Moskowitz, I have a question.
Yes?
The pasuk says, Pi tzaddik yanuv chachma. I'm sorry. Siftei tzaddik yadun ratzon ufi rishayim tavuchu.
That's Lamed Beis.
Lamed Aleph. Okay, Pi tzaddik yanuv chachma ulshon tapuchos tikares. I'm sorry, no more question. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Okay. So we've answered what is the language of opposites that the Rabbeinu Yonah answered, and we answered why it says the word tzaddik here. The next question is, what is the subject of the pasuk? I mean, there's a contradiction here between one half and the other, so we have to define the subject to be able to bring them together. Okay, now, I'd like to prove that the subject is social discourse, just when you're naturally talking. Because both the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ibn Ezra says, both of them say that it is the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom. Now that's not true. What produces wisdom is the mind. The mind produces wisdom. Then the mouth speaks wisdom. Okay? So therefore the thing is that the question is, so why is he saying the mouth produces wisdom? Okay? So that's one proof that he's going directly from the mouth to the wisdom. It's bypassing the thought. Secondly, Rabbeinu Yonah says it's hirgal, it's natural, it's a second nature. Now the thing is that when you're learning Chachma, your second nature doesn't work. You have to think consciously. You got to think out the questions. What are the answers? Does it work? Do the answers work? Does it answer the question? All these things are conscious thoughts. But when he says that he speaks naturally, the only time you speak naturally, the way without thought, is in social discourse. And also, to tell me that the tzaddik thinks, there'd be no chiddush in that. Of course, or even the chacham, whether the tzaddik or the chacham, of course they think. That's their job, that they have to think things out. So, but there would be no chiddush in the pasuk to tell me that he just thinks. So therefore, the subject of the pasuk must be social discourse. And in social discourse, we've answered three things. We've answered question one, because the first part is talking about the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom. And the language of opposites means that he says false things, and he's talking in a conversation, social conversation. Okay? We've also answered question two, which is why the word produce? He produces because it's going straight from the mouth to the thought, and there's no chachma. And we went to question six. What is the subject of the pasuk? Are there any questions up until here? Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why, in terms of the conflicting tongue being cut off, what is that? What is the cutting?
I asked that question before, what does it mean? And I'm going to answer it now.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, no, that's okay. So what it means is that reality will disprove it. In other words, there is such a thing as reality. Now, when you speak opposites, reality disproves it. The question is, how does reality disprove things? In other words, if I want to know something is wrong, how do I know it's wrong? How do I know, how could I prove when it's going against reality? So there are two ways you could tell something is going against reality. One is contradiction. In other words, if there's a contradiction, then it can't be true. And the second thing, the consequences. Now, there are two types of consequences. There's a consequence because I made a mistake, and there's a consequence because something went wrong with the world that's not in my hands. It's out of my hands. Mishlei is not talking about the second type of mistake. When something is out of your hands, that you have, like the answer that Yaakov gave, first he prepared a peace treaty when he went to war. Then he prepared for war. He divided the camp. Rashi says he prepared for war. Then he prayed to God that one of those two ways work. That is not a Mishlei concept. Okay? The Mishlei is dealing with only where the person himself makes mistakes. So if there's a consequence, that means you did something that's not in line with reality that brought about that consequence. If it's an outside consequence, that's we're not dealing with in Mishlei. Are there any questions? Is that clear?
How is the case of Yaakov an example of the second example of the second kind of?
I'm saying that Yaakov is different than what I'm talking about. Yaakov is talking about where there's an outside problem, outside of myself. There's Esav that wants to kill me, okay? So I try a peace treaty. I try to prepare for war. Then I pray for one of those two things to work. The consequence here is a result of my mistake. I'm not living in line with the principles of Mishle. So therefore I made a mistake. That type of consequence shows me that I did something wrong. In other words, sometimes the consequences are too late. Let's say you smoke. Well, the consequences is you're going to get cancer. It shows that you made a mistake, that there was a terrible mistake, did something wrong. But by Yaakov, there he's dealing with an outside problem, something from the outside, and he didn't make any mistakes. So sometimes you have a consequence that's not your mistake. That's not Mishle. That's not the subject of Mishle. That is a different subject. But however, the consequence that we're talking about is the consequence of where I do something personally wrong and I bring about a consequence. I say something wrong and I make an enemy. That's my fault. You see, that is the consequence that proves that I did something wrong. Okay? So that I'm working outside of reality. One is contradiction, and two is consequence. Mishle just deals with consequences, not with contradictions, but it definitely, it's a tool to find out that you're doing something incorrectly. Are there any questions? Is that clear? Okay. I have one more question. The question is, who is the pasuk talking to? In other words, King Solomon is giving advice. I have to know to who he is giving advice to. So the question is, who is he giving advice to? Now, there's two people he could be giving advice. He could be giving advice to people in the world, like regular people. You meet a person that never learned Mishle, he doesn't learn Gemara, and you try to show him about consequences. So high probability, even if you show him that he's saying what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right, and you show him contradictions, high probability they don't listen. If you ever try to question somebody that's not used to the idea of questions, they get upset and they make denials and rationalize and say, "Well, they can't listen because contradiction doesn't mean much to them." But so who are we talking to? We're talking to a Lamdan. Lamdan is a person, let's say, well-versed in Gemara. So he is trained to look for contradictions. He knows that there is a contradiction. But in his everyday life, he didn't train himself in his everyday life, and it doesn't naturally cross over from being a Lamdan to seeing it in everyday life. And so therefore we show him that, look, there's a contradiction. What's the contradiction? When you speak, you say things that are opposites. That's the language of opposites. So he sees the contradiction. Let's put it this way. He can't see. There are people that don't want to correct themselves, even Lamdanim. And it's not necessarily that a person is going to, to change. But at least he has the possibility of changing. Because he sees contradiction, he understands a contradiction. So you could show him the contradiction. But a regular person, if you ever argued with a regular person, many times they don't listen to contradictions or what you say. They're only interested in that they're right. They don't want to be wrong, and that's all. And so therefore, it's very hard to speak to them. So the pasuk isn't speaking to them. The pasuk, King Solomon, is speaking to a Lamdan that you could show him a contradiction in his personal life so that he can. It's not there's no guarantees here. You have to make the decision, but he can see to make that decision to move into the world of Mishlei. Are there any questions? That's basically what I had prepared for today. Now, the thing is, if you want, I heard a few people get on a little late, and I'm in no rush, so I could go over some of the stuff if anybody would like to, whoever came in late. Otherwise, I'm basically done. Hello?
Yeah.
I would like that.
You would like that? You'd like me to go over the whole thing? Okay.
We're doing
Perek Yud Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And according to the Ibn Ezra, the word Yonuv in the Pasuk means produce. So the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom. And then it says, but the language of opposites will be cut. So the question is, first question is, why produce? Produce is the mind produces, not the mouth. The second question, what is the language of opposites? Third question, what is cut off? What does the Ibn Ezra mean by cut off? Just one minute. I got the wrong notes. The first part of the pasuk doesn't fit into the second part. That's one. Question is, what does the word produce? Third one, what is the language of opposites? Right. Okay, question four. The Ibn Ezra says the lips will be cut. What does that mean? Okay. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah clarifies. He agrees with the translation of the Ibn Ezra, but he clarifies some of the subjects. And in the middle of the Lamed Aleph in the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, V'ainyan, and the subject is, Pi Tzadik Yifra Chachma, that the mouth of the Tzadik, Yifra comes from the word fruit, which means produces Chachma. And what does that mean, that it produces Chachma? Shehirgul Sefasov, that his lips become second nature, or natural to his lips, the Chachma. Achehilahem capriates. It's like the fruit of a tree. What does he mean by the fruit of a tree? Shelo yadabru bilti divrei chachma. He only speaks the words of chachma. And what is the lashon tapuchos? He continues on the Rabbeinu Yoni defines that. Shemedaberes hepechemes. He speaks opposite the truth. And omeres latov ra. Ularatov, and he speaks, he says, that which is good is bad, and that which is bad is good. Like you could say, smoking is a good thing, it relaxes you, whatever. You understand? He could say, learning is a bad thing. You say, why waste your time in learning? The main thing is practical, you got to get a job. You got to go to college and get a job. Forget about learning. You understand? So the thing is, he speaks the language of opposites. That is the language of opposites. So we asked, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, why does he use the word tzaddik? He could use the word chacham. Right? Why does he use the word tzaddik? Tzaddik. And at this point, I explained that you have to understand what the word tzaddik. The word tzaddik of halacha is very different than the word tzaddik in the Mishlei. The word tzaddik in halacha means that I keep halacha correctly. I do intelligent acts, I do acts of kindness, I do acts of justice. Okay? It all has to do with the act. Period. In Mishlei, we're talking about a personality change. And the development is first you become a chacham, and then you become a tzaddik. The personality of a chacham is that he is involved in the world of chachma. He could reach a level where he loves chachma, he loves ideas, but he's not, his nature is not to do justice. It doesn't mean he can't do an act of justice or that he won't do an act of justice. So therefore but his nature is that he naturally does justice and he can reach a point. I mean, he naturally thinks in Chachmah, and he can reach a point where his mind thinks in Chachmah, where it's natural. Okay? The tzaddik is where he takes into consideration, where his emotions take into consideration the world of righteousness. It's a personality change. Includes everybody. Now the thing is, you'll very rarely see the word chesed in Mishlei. That you'll very rarely see once, twice. You understand? And so you have to understand why it's used here. What you do find the word chesed, you do find in Tillim. That is a further development of the human being, where he gets involved in the world of God. He gets involved with the ideas of God. Then he becomes a chesed, a man of kindness, that his nature is kind. That's a different, that is not in the world of Mishlei. You become kind via God, not via Mishlei. That doesn't mean you don't do acts of kindness. You can do acts of kindness. You keep halacha, you're going to do acts of kindness. Got to give tzedakah. It's acts of kindness. But it's not part of your nature. Okay? That is what we said. Okay, now we asked, what is the subject of the pasuk? And we answered like this. It has to be social discourse. And we have a few proofs. First proof is the Ibn Ezra and the Rabbeinu Yonah that the mind produces chokhmah, not the lips. In other words, and the pasuk says, that the mouth of the tzaddik produces wisdom. How could the mouth doesn't produce? It's the mind. So it must be it's going directly from the mouth to that wisdom. It's going directly to the mouth, from the mouth to produce wisdom. Second thing, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hirgel, that it's natural, it's second nature. Second nature, I mean, when you're learning a Gemara, a Tosfos, or you're learning even Mishlei, you got to ask questions. The conscious mind has to work. You have to think through. Here, it's natural means that he's not thinking about it. It must be a situation where he naturally speaks Chachmah, even though he's not thinking. And also, there'd be no Chiddush in the Pasuk if the Pasuk said, that a Chacham thinks. That's ridiculous. Or a Tzaddik thinks. You understand? That would be ridiculous. There'd be nothing to say there. So therefore, the pasuk must be talking about, the subject of the pasuk must be social discourse. And that's why we use the word produce, because it's going straight from the mouth to the mind. I mean, the mouth to the idea. And that is the subject of the pasuk. The subject of the pasuk is social discourse. Okay? Now we didn't answer four. Four says the lips will be cut. That means reality will disprove him. Okay? How does reality disprove? We went into a long discussion of contradiction and consequences. Contradiction is understandable. But consequences are, only certain type of consequences, we said, where it's you make a mistake. Not there's a consequence from outside factors. That, you know, you don't have to make a mistake. You have a consequence, and you have to deal rationally with it, and that's it.
Question?
Yes?
how is reality disproving him the opposite of producing chachma?
What?
It sounds like producing chachma means he's like other people hear him and understand his chachma. But reality disproving him sounds like that's for himself. It's not really in a social context.
The thing is, I understand it's not going to be corrected in a social context. That's why we asked the last question, who is the Pasuk talking to?
Well, I'm saying in what way are the two halves of the Pasuk opposites?
Oh, in what way? How they're opposites is there's the tzaddik, okay, and the opposite is an unjust person who tells you that smoking is good and learning is bad.
He's unjust because he tells you that, or he tells himself that?
It doesn't matter. It's an unjust statement.
I mean, even if it's not affecting other people, it's still unjust, you're saying?
I'm saying the act is an act of injustice. We're talking about it in a social context. He is telling other people.
So he is, so I'm fine.
He is telling other people because we're in a social context.
How is producing chachma the opposite of getting, destroyed by his, giving people contradictions, though? Because it seems like the opposite.
I don't think that he's destroyed by the tzaddik. I think he's destroyed because if he reads this pasuk, King Solomon will tell him that he's wrong. That's what I said. That's why I said, who is the pasuk talking to? Every pasuk is talking to a particular person. It has to be advising. Every pasuk is advising different person how to live their life. And there, in the particular situation of the pasuk.
Right.
So,
getting shown why you're in contradiction, the opposite of causing chachma. Are those two opposites?
In other words, if a person reads this pasuk, we'll get to a minute to who he's talking to. When a person reads this pasuk, he sees that naturally, if he's not naturally talks truth, then he's going to talk an opposite. He talks from his emotions. He's going to talk opposite.
I hear why the actions are opposites. I'm saying, how are the effects opposites? It seems like producing chachma and getting shown that you're in contradiction or have bad consequences aren't opposites.
I don't follow. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
I understand how the actions are opposites, meaning saying chachma is an opposite of saying contradictions.
That's correct.
How are the effects in the psukim opposites? The effect of the tzaddik is that he causes chachma. The effect of the lashon tafuchos is that he gets proven that he's in contradiction.
That's correct.
Are those effects opposites of each other? Getting tikares and yanuv chachma, are those two opposites?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not?
It seems like yanuv chachma is...
In other words, there's two people. One talks truth, and one talks falsehood. Is that opposites?
Those are opposites. Those are the actions. I'm saying the effect of the actions. The effect of one is that it causes more chachma. The effect of
it doesn't cause more chachma. You have to be a chacham to notice it. It's not going to cause chachma.
So all this pasuk is saying is that tzaddikim...
All we're saying is the fact. But some people talk truth naturally, and some people talk opposites naturally. That's all we're saying.
So then I'm very confused, because then what's the consequence we're afraid of here?
What?
What's the consequence then?
Well, if I say you're unjust, are you going to defend yourself? Are you going to say something? Do you want? Or you'll say, oh, I don't mind being unjust. You ever hear of a person say that?
No, of course I'll defend myself, but
therefore we have to be talking to a person that talks unjustly. That's what the pasuk is talking to.
Just the emotional.
We're saying you're unjust.
You're saying just the effect of being told he's talking unjustly is the consequence itself.
That's correct.
when he realizes that, when he sees he's in contradiction, it'll hurt him.
That's right. If you ask me, I said that the answer is that he's talking to a lamdan. If you show a lamdan a contradiction, you recognize the value of a contradiction that you have to answer. Unless emotionally you're closed off, there are lamdanim that are emotionally closed off and they don't want to straighten out their lives. I understand that. But he has the situation. But you talk to a regular person, I'm sure you've gone to discussions with other people. You ask them a contradiction, they go crazy. They don't deal with the contradiction. All they want to prove is they're right. They don't, I'm not looking for truth. Contradiction is only to show you that you have something wrong. Now let's straighten it out. That's all a contradiction is. But people take it as an attack.
If he's a lamdan, he'll recognize it, though, you're saying.
Change my life and I have a weak ego. I take that as an attack.
Right.
But okay. A lamdan understands the value of a contradiction. So therefore, him I could talk to. I could show him the contradiction.
So the pasuk is trying to say, if you want to avoid being confronted by your contradictions, don't say contradictions.
He's talking to a lamdan and saying, you live a life of chachma. I mean, you study a life of chachma. You don't live it yet. Okay? You know what a contradiction is. You're living a life of contradiction. You say opposites. You don't think. You have to practice. You have to train yourself. So we're talking to a lamdan. You got it?
Right. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Could it also be talking
about
the Moskowitz? Could the pasuk also be talking to like an observer of people, not necessarily someone who's trying to improve himself, but just somebody who wants to get a gist of where other people are at?
I'm not sure what type of person you're talking about, but let me explain one thing. There are two types of people that will naturally learn Mishlei, even though they're not lamdanim. One is if you're the child of a person that learns Mishlei, and you start educating him, and you realize the importance of Mishlei, so you teach him. Okay? Or two, you're in a class. Now you have to listen to the teacher because your grade is dependent on it. So after a while, some of the kids become involved in Mishlei, even though they're not lamdana. You understand? So if you're talking about that type of case, yes, but if I went over to any one of my students before they were forced to stay in my class and I didn't have them for 3 months, forget it, they won't listen to me. But they're forced to. I mean, kids in high school, I mean, there are people that teach Mishlei in high school besides me, you know, and they have the same thing that they find the students get involved and they really love it after a while, even though they're not lamdanim, but they were forced into it and they were forced to listen. They had no choice. And after a while, they started seeing not every one of them, but those that did, they saw the value of living the life of Mishlei. So that's a person that's not a lamdan that can get into Mishlei before he becomes a lamdan. Okay?
Let's see.
Are there any other questions?
Rabbi Moskowitz, I was wondering if you could say more, since the pasuk is talking to the chacham, who is acknowledging the contradiction.
Let's use the word lamdan. Hold it. A chacham is in Mishlei, okay? Once you live the life of Mishlei.
Okay, so the lamdan, in the imagery of his tongue being cut off, is that sort of in reference to how quickly he acknowledges the contradiction and then abandons the problem?
I don't care about, we're not talking about anybody changing yet, or who is changing. All we're saying is that reality shows he's wrong. Now, somebody might have to show him reality, but a regular person, like I said, he won't listen to contradictions. He only cares about his own life, that he doesn't, don't bother me with these things. But the Lamdan, it's possible that he can't change. I'm not saying that you have to do it. The Pusik is doing it for you. The Pusik is telling you, Mr. Lamdan, you have a problem.
So the, all right, Moskowitz?
Yes.
The Pusik is instructing a Lamdan to examine his own life in the same way that he learns.
Yes,
to see the
he should see the contradiction in his own life, right?
Rabbi Moskowitz?
Yes?
I'm saying, is it, can it be for the Lamdan also a tool to diagnose other people and see who to put his trust in or who to follow?
I don't think a Lamdan gets that from Gemara. I don't think he can get that from Gemara. I think you have to know psychology. You have to have a study of psychology. And Mishle does that in a different way than analysis. But the thing is, it does it, and its purpose is different. But it forces you to face, like in this case, you could see it in this case, it forces you to, it forces the Lamdan to face himself that he's making a mistake. It shows him the emotion, what emotion he's giving into via the consequence. That's for every pasuk and mishle. Every pasuk and mishle, in other words, I could tell you a consequence, but you don't get down to the emotion. Mishle gets down to the emotion. What emotion causes you to bring about that consequence. Like in this case, it's natural for people, they don't think. If you're not thinking, you're naturally going to speak according to your emotions. And the emotions, sometimes the cases that I've gave are very simple, obvious. But I mean, many times it's very subtle. You have a chavrusa, I don't know, some people have a chavrusa where you're very honest with each other. You could check each other out. You'd be unbelievable, the subtlety in which you fake yourself out. You're amazed at the simple things that you are fooled about. Probably everybody else sees it except you. That's what Mishle does. It shows these emotions that bring about these consequences. Okay, any more questions?
I think we're good.
Okay, thank you very much. See you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not going straight in order. I don't even know what I'm going to do next week, but I'm looking around for the simple stuff. Things that, in other words, there's certain things that come before others. Okay? This is the simplest I could get. Take care.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.